I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you very much for joining us here on the program. Today, we're going to talk about what's in your wallet, your pocketbook, your piggy bank, your bank account, or maybe the lack thereof. Are you happy about that? In either case, depending upon or regardless of how much you have. Well, we're going to be talking with our guest today, Edwin Gaines, and she is going to share with us the four spiritual laws of prosperity. It's a simple guide to unlimited abundance. I want you to stay right where you are. This is Tell Me Your Story.
Walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And this is Tell Me Your Story, where we work towards an understanding, a better awareness of where we are, where we've been, and where we're going. And today we're going to be talking from the perspective of the exchange. In the universe, there is a law, so to speak, and we'll talk with our guest, Edwin Gaines, about that law of exchange. There is always an exchange in the universe. It's Einstein's theory, if you will. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And that's true energetically as well. We want to welcome the author of The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, Edwin Gaines, to our program. Thank you so much for taking time to share with us.
I'm delighted to be with you today, Richard.
It is a law, the law of exchange, which I'm bringing that into the mix here, that you actually talk about in terms of prosperity, in terms of abundance, but it's not always the way that most of us think, is it? I mean, we usually think of the jingle in our pocket, or, you know, the numbers on the computer when we're accessing our accounts online.
That's so true. Well, you know, prosperity for a lot of people, they simply mean money, but prosperity is more than just money. It's a healthy body and relationships at work and work that you love and all the money you can spend. And to live at that level, then what we've got to do, in my experience, is come into alignment with four spiritual laws. And, you know, this law of exchange has been around, you know, forever. Emerson talked about it in his essay, The Law of Compensation. And Charles Fillmore, who founded the Unity Movement, says that there must always be an equal exchange of energy for a transaction to be complete. So what we have to look at is, are we giving as much as we want to receive? Because whether it's in the form of money or talent or skills or energy or attention, we've got to send that energy out there in some form if we want it to come back to you. We live in a perfectly balanced universe.
Well, and yet there are many of us who would question the balance of the universe based solely on what we have in, we'll call it that, exchange account.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of what we want to talk about. And we'll also get into the specifics of the four spiritual laws,
sure,
which is the title of your book. There's also an audio CD that's available. And we'll also make folks aware that you hold seminars and workshops, and you actually have, I don't know if I want, you have a retreat center.
Yes, Rock Ridge Retreat Center in North Alabama. It's in the foothills of the Appalachians, just south of Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's a beautiful part of the world, and I do about 10 retreats here a year.
Well, people can find out about your book as well through your website, which is prosperityproducts.com. That's www.prosperityproducts.com. And we encourage you to check out the information and see if these things will work for you. Again, we're talking about the four spiritual laws of prosperity. I like sometimes in some of the interviews that we do, Edwin, to define terms. So let's start by defining a little bit more clearly for folks as a stepping off point here. What is prosperity?
Prosperity is a feeling of well-being in our lives, and it has to do with money, and it has to do with the sense, really, that you have all that you desire, and you have access to all that you could possibly need, all that you could possibly want. And I believe that that is a level of living that we are designed to experience if we will do our part, if we will plug ourselves into that energy system called divine mind or universal intelligence or God, if you will, whatever that energy is that grows trees, that causes babies to be born, whatever that is, we can plug into that in many ways, with prayer, with coming into alignment with these spiritual principles, and begin to experience living life at a whole new dimension where life is not a struggle. It's not about just getting by, putting up with, making ends meet. But in reality, it's about making a contribution to your life and to your world, and feeling the gratitude for the contribution that others make into our lives.
So it's an internal aspect of life. It's not something that's outside of ourselves, then.
Exactly. It doesn't really matter how much money you have in the bank. It's how you feel about it. I spent a lot of time in my younger years in East Texas, and I knew a man there who had oil wells all over East Texas. And that man was one of the saddest men that I have ever known, because he was always worried about his money. And I had another friend there who had, if he had $5 on Saturday night, he was rich. So it's really about your attitude and how you hold what you want, what you have, how you experience your daily life. And if you're not happy now, nothing in the world is going to make you happy. So it's really about making a choice to enjoy your life and to allow yourself to have all the good that's here.
So if I'm an individual who's listening to this program and I have these aspirations of wealth, mm-hmm. of having a fat bank account, so that I can go do the things, take the wife and kids or what have you, on trips, out to dinner, without having to think about whether or not I have enough money in my account to cover it. I know that it's always going to be there, but I'm not there.
Yeah.
And that's what I want, okay?
Yeah.
And certainly, yes. I'm not happy where I am because I'm wanting these other things.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What kind of a person are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about somebody who's willing to make some changes. Because if you're not happy doing things the way you're doing them now, well, let's look at the changes you could make. And that's why I wrote The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, because that's what I did. Because I started out in poverty, and I began to study and research and talk to people who were successful and people who were living the life that I wanted to live. And I found something wonderfully in common with many of these people. And I put them all to the test in my own life. And the first one is a very simple law, and that is we have to acknowledge what I call God as our source. Your higher power, infinite intelligence, whatever that is, you have to acknowledge that that's your source. And the way that we do that, in my belief system, is we return one-tenth of all that we've received back to that person, place, or institution where we've received our spiritual food. Now, that's different from giving to charity. Spiritual food is that which causes us to remember who we are, wakes us up and shakes us up and inspires us and gets us back on track. And our intention here, by returning this 10% back to that point, is to acknowledge that God is our source. And when we do that, what happens is our faith expands enormously and gives us courage to step out of our little box that we've been living in and take what seem to be risks so that we can live a larger life.
If you've just joined us, my guest is Edwin Gaines. She's the author of The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. And if you don't have prosperity in your life, or you don't feel that you do, we hope that you will stay tuned as we continue discussing the subject, The Simple Guide to Unlimited Abundance. And we will get a definition of that term when we continue. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. And the website for Edwin is prosperityproducts.com. That's prosperityproducts.com. You can link to her or get to her through a link at a website, richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. And this interview will be available following the broadcast as well up on the website. Just go to richarddugan.com and to the radio shows and go to page 4 at the present time and click on Edwin's link there to her website and then the play link, and you can listen to this interview again. I'm Richard Dugan. Don't go away. We have more coming up, an abundance of dialogue as we try to help you and I to be more prosperous and more abundant in our lives, both physically as well as spiritually, here on Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned. And we are back with Edwin Gaines, the author of The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. It is a simple guide to unlimited abundance, and it is available both in print and audiobook. And Edwin, let's define that next term, abundance. What are we talking about there?
Well, when we think about abundance, one of the images that we have in our culture is that cornucopia, especially around Thanksgiving time, where all the fruits are coming out of this horn of plenty. And abundance really is having what you want, when you want it, in a way that you can enjoy it. That's what abundance is. And it doesn't necessarily mean large stacks of money, although if that's what you want, you can have that. Maybe it's a simple, clean, loving, gentle place to live. Maybe it's a new car. Who knows? It's different for every single soul. But the truth is, in my belief system, you can have everything that your heart desires if you're willing to do your part. And the first step is to acknowledge that God's your source by returning the tithe, one-tenth of all, back where you've been fed spiritually on a regular and disciplined basis. Now, that's not all there is to do, but that's spiritual law number one. And that one kind of stops people because it brings up our fear. It brings up our belief in lack. And as long as we have a belief that there's not enough to go around, guess what? There won't be.
And also brings up, for some, that fear of, oh, well, then I have to start going to church in order to find a place to give this tenth. And, gee, what if I'm church hopping because I'm not feeling as though this church or that church or this spiritual outlet, if you will, is serving me. It's like, I don't like what they say there. Or, I mean, we start getting into that whole justification, if you will. I think that's probably the best term to use. In terms of, well, where do I give my tithe? It's 10%, and it's a tithe, as it were. And people, again, these different words that we're using, they have certain charges of energy. And
they do.
And they bother
so
people.
Right. You're so right. And I want to be very clear that I am not saying that you tithe to a church. I'm saying you tithe where you receive your spiritual food. And so my process is every time I receive money, I quiet my mind and heart, go within, and I ask, where does this tithe go? Remind me where I've been fed. And sometimes I send it to somebody who's made a CD that's fed me. Sometimes I send it to a radio show I've heard that's touched my heart, or send it to the author of a book, or sometimes I do send it to a church or a minister or a teacher. I've given it even to a waitress in a coffee shop who fed me spiritually. And so it's an amazing thing. Now, what is spiritual food? Spiritual food is that which causes us to remember who we are, wakes us up and shakes us up and turns on the flow of energy back into our lives. And so many times the church is absolutely the appropriate place, but if you're not in a church, go within and find out where you are receiving your spiritual food, because you cannot live unless you are somewhere you're receiving spiritual food. Maybe it's from your grandmother, or maybe it is from a good friend, or maybe a therapist, who knows, a book you've read. Mm-hmm. But everybody receives spiritual food.
So these four laws, these four spiritual laws of prosperity that you write about in your book by that same title, where did you come up with these? And maybe I should back that up. Let's not go to that question just yet. Let's back it up even further. Where do you get your core beliefs, if you will, that have brought you to this place where you've written this book?
Well, Richard, I was raised in a very fundamentalist church, and I'm very grateful for that because I got a wonderful Bible background. But I left that church in my young adulthood because it didn't seem to answer my soul questions. And I did a lot of searching around, you know, church hopping, as you mentioned. And I began to read. I just spent hours in the library checking out books on success and spiritual ideas. And I just kind of put together ideas from this writer and this teacher and this philosopher, and I began to practice what each of them said, and I distilled it all down into these four that absolutely transformed my life and took me from poverty into a joyous experience of prosperity for my life.
So you've been studying about abundance and prosperity for a number of years.
About 35 years.
So let me ask you, do these four spiritual laws, from your experience and your study, do they transcend the various religions?
I believe that they do. I am not teaching someone to worship a certain person or religious viewpoint, whether it might be Jesus Christ or the Buddha or Muhammad or the Eastern teachers or whoever, whatever belief system you have, because I believe that all pathways lead to God. And whatever belief system you have, if you will put these into practice, and I urge people, don't take it on faith. Try it for yourself and give yourself a testing period of 6 months and watch what happens. Amazing things will happen for us if we will actually involve ourselves in participating in these four spiritual laws fully and completely and testing it for ourselves and see what happens.
Now, you have this CD as well as the hardbound or the print version of
yes.
the book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. It, again, is a simple guide to unlimited abundance. And you are also a widely known seminar leader. Basically, you've worked with thousands of people around the country, if not around the world, to help with personal issues of prosperity, integrity, commitment, forgiveness. Finding purpose for their lives. I mean, this is all-encompassing. This retreat center, and then you and I had shared a little bit about this when we talked first some weeks ago in setting up this interview, that this retreat center is a rather unique and special place.
It's very beautiful and very wonderful. And I'm having a retreat here in just a week or so on spiritual healing. And then I have one in December on an introduction into shamanism. So there's different topics that we cover throughout the year. And people come from all over the world to participate here in the retreats. And it's a very sweet place on Mother Earth's body. Beautiful trees and rolling hills and a creek running through the property. And it's just a lovely thing. A gift to give yourself to get away from it all and come and be a part and feel the God presence in you. It's a powerful, powerful place.
Do most of the people that attend your workshops and appear up at the retreat center there, the Rock Ridge Retreat Center, are they all wanting to be millionaire billionaires and have multiple cars and huge houses in different parts of the world? I mean, because that seems to be when you say the phrase, you know, I want abundance and prosperity in my life, that image always seems to come to some folks' minds.
And some people do. Some people do. That's their idea of abundance. Some people want to write books and have their own radio and television shows. Some people want to open their own retreat centers. Some people just want to be better parents or better teachers or just better citizens. Some people are just coming to heal their own wounded psyche, you know. So to say why they come for all sorts of reasons.
From your experience, why are people who want to be filled with abundance and have prosperity, why don't they have it?
Well, because they're not willing to do their part. That's my feeling. If you're not willing, we've talked about tithing, which is spiritual law number one, but spiritual law number two is a huge one, and as far as I know, is taught in every religion that I know about, and that's the spiritual law of forgiveness. And we do a lot of talking about it, but in these retreats and in the seminars, we work on doing it. And you know, we can hang on to our justification for being right and angry, and we can hold on to it for the rest of our lives, but it's not going to make us happy, it's not going to make us healthy, and it's not going to make us wealthy. So we've got to get rid of that stuff. It's not an option. And I know some dreadful things have happened to people, but we still have to forgive, and we have to forgive ourselves especially.
What do you say to someone who tells you, well, I just believe that it's my lot in life to be poor, lacking all of the wonderful things that I really would like to have, but apparently they're not supposed to be in my life because they're not here, so this must be my karma, predestined design for my life by the Creator, what have you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I try not to interfere if they want to believe that, but if they say that to me and they come to me and ask about that, then I'll ask them, is that what you want to believe? And usually they say, well, no, I don't want to believe that. Well, here's a thought. How about you change your mind? You know, the old notion about change your mind and you change your life?
Mm-hmm.
How about if you believed in a loving God that wanted you to have every good and precious gift? What if you changed your mind and believed that you were made in the image and likeness of the Most High and worthy to have a life that worked in every area? What if you were to change your mind? And most people will begin to consider that.
Edwine Gaines, my guest, and she is talking to us about the four spiritual laws of prosperity, and we're going to continue discussing the subject here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and we are talking about, we're not just talking about money, and that's one of the things we'll continue discussing here on the program. The website is richarddugan.com. If you'd like to send me an email, I'd love to hear from you at richard@richarddugan.com. Now, Edwine's email address is prosper@tds.net. That's prosper, P-R-O-S-P-E-R, at tds.net. And the website, again, is prosperityproducts.com. I'm Richard Dugan. We are here on Tell Me Your Story every Saturday. We hope you'll stay with us. And we're back here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, along with Edwine Gaines, author of The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. And we're going to continue discussing these laws. And we were just getting into the second spiritual law of forgiveness, Edwine, as we are. This seems to be a difficult one because maybe sometimes people are wondering, what do I need to forgive? I mean, I don't feel like anyone's really done me any wrong. Do you have people that come to you and just feel like, hey, you know, I love everybody and everybody loves me, and so I don't understand this forgiveness thing?
Well, you know, I do have that occasionally, but if I spend a little time talking with people and I just ask them simple little questions, who broke your heart? If you ask that question of some people, tears will begin to flow. And if the tears are coming up, you know the forgiveness process is not complete. Or tell me about your parents. Or tell me about how you were, how you parented. Or, you know, tell me about how your relationship ended. Anything you talk about that's real, everybody has issues that we need to take a look at and deal with. Because, Richard, you know, we did not come onto this planet with a manual about how to live our lives. And most of us were born to parents who gave us all the love they could give us coming from their background and their experience. And some of us did not feel nurtured and loved completely as children. And so there's that sort of angst and that sense of not getting my fair share of love, which has to be forgiven. There's all sorts of issues. And you know, and it's a good question to ask. You know, I feel like I've done the work. What's missing? And if you begin to talk about it, you will find the area where the person is still holding on to either grief or shame or guilt or blame or whatever emotion is that's blocking their good. Because when you hold on to unforgiveness, you are absolutely blocking the good that wants to come into your life.
Hmm. Well, it is sometimes it feels like it's a difficult life to live, and you know we're in trying times, and we hear all of the news on the radio, television, and the newspapers, and from friends and family, and oh, did you hear what happened over here, and Wall Street, and the world economy, and all these different things, and I remember in the 1980s when I was in my first decade in broadcasting. And they kept talking about what I would refer to on a regular basis as an alleged recession.
Very good.
What's interesting, though, is here we are in the 21st century, And people are talking about this alleged recession once again. Now, I can only base it upon my own experiences,
yeah,
how much I have coming in, how much is going out.
Yeah.
And I've also heard this is a second concept to deal with, and that is the advice I've heard when, quote unquote, times get tough, money gets tight, is you don't contract. You must continue to expand and grow.
Exactly.
You know, because if you contract, then you are doing nothing more than contributing to that which you are claiming is happening.
You're absolutely right. One of the things I like to tell people is, look, we have all received an engraved invitation to a recession, and I'm inviting you to join with me as we send our regrets. No, thank you. We're not coming. We're not playing. We're playing another game, and we invite you to come and play with us, because what we know is that there is just as much on the planet as there was a year ago. It's not gone anywhere. The only thing that's changed is the thoughts in people's minds. And so let's go back to believing that there's more than enough, that God is our source, that God provides, and that will always be taken care of. And when you're a tither and you do your forgiveness piece, then you go on to the next spiritual law and you set your goals and you say what it is that you want in the midst of the what the world calls an alleged recession. You can still prosper abundantly.
Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting concept. I even heard one gentleman, he was talking about, of course, the major drops in the stock market in particular. And his question was, and he's actually placed this before the financial wizards of some companies. There were billions of dollars the day before this thing, lost its bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Where did it go?
Exactly.
What happened to it? Somebody has to have, quote unquote, uh-huh, those dollars somewhere. They just didn't disappear.
That's right. That's right. It's a wonderful question, because it is all in the mind, you know. And if we have the courage and the discipline to harness our thoughts and think what we want to think rather than moving into fear, we can live the abundant life in the midst of whatever is going on in the world.
Why do you pursue this course in your life to help others? Have you achieved the prosperity and abundance that you want in your life?
Let me answer the first part. I do this because in 1976, I made a commitment to the Lord of my being, the goddess within me, that I would be 100% responsible for the transformation of the abundance consciousness of planet Earth. I did that when I had holes in my shoes. I knew there had to be a better way, and I was determined to find it and to teach it. And the answer to the second part of the question is, I live in a beautiful home in the middle of 30 acres that are probably some of the most beautiful on planet Earth. I am absolutely debt-free. The mortgage is all paid. The car is paid for. I travel first class. I spent September in India, April in Ecuador, traveled a couple years ago with my grandsons to Tibet and China. I go to Peru frequently to work with shaman. I have all that I could possibly desire, and God is constantly showering more upon me, which enables me to give more. And I am just so grateful, because I know that the more you give, the more you receive.
So let's go back to, you said
1976.
76.
Uh-huh.
You've said, you've given us the impetus in that regards to the quest that you're on, so to speak, or the process that you share with others as to, you know, having holes in your shoes and so forth. But why? Why does it matter that much to you whether other people are prosperous?
Gosh, it's a good question. I was in India in September, and Richard, I have never in my life seen poverty like that. And I have visited in a lot of third world countries, but never have I seen that kind of poverty. And my heart just demands that I do whatever I can to help people understand that you do not have to go hungry, you do not have to live on the street, you do not have to do without, that there is a loving, compassionate universe that wants to give you everything your heart desires. And I could not sleep at night if I didn't try to share with other people this information that I have proven in my own life.
Mm. Well, it sounds to me like you have made some wonderful inroads into people's lives as regards to their own ability, and that's really what it comes down to, because you stated it earlier about taking personal responsibility, not only taking it, but acknowledging it is my responsibility and nobody else's.
That's right.
And we're going to continue talking about this with Edwin Gaines, the author of The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, A Simple Guide to Unlimited Abundance. And we've already dealt with two, and actually three. We'll go a little bit more in depth into setting clear-cut goals. But we've talked about tithing and forgiveness and worthiness. Now, maybe we'll touch upon worthiness when we come back from our break. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story with Edwin Gaines. And again, the website, if you'd like to touch base with her, find out what all she has available for you, it is www.prosperityproducts.com. That's prosperityproducts.com. There's a link at richarddugan.com where you can get there as well. And this program, as I've said before, will be available following the broadcast. This is Tell Me Your Story. I am Richard Dugan. Stay tuned. We're talking with Edwin Gaines, and she is the author of The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, and we're talking about those laws. We've discussed tithing, which is pretty clear-cut. Now, let's back up to that one for just a moment, Edwin, and you say one-tenth. When you say give one-tenth to the source of that has fed you spiritually, whatever that may be, and you've given us the various possibilities, are we talking specifically and exclusively about our dollars and cents, if you will? Or is there another way to give one-tenth of what?
Well, you know, the original tithing stories, they tied the medium of exchange. And that at that time, and it was crops and farm animals and like that. But today, our medium of exchange in our culture is money. So I teach people to tithe their money. Now, if I were a farmer and I was raising pumpkins, for example, right now, I would give away 10% of my pumpkins as well. But because our medium of exchange is money, I teach people to tithe their money, one-tenth of all the money they receive, primarily because that's where the greatest fear seems to lie, is around our money issues. And so once we break through that, we begin to tithe, well, then we get to see that there's more than enough.
Somebody very intellectual might say, well, now, is that 10% of the gross or the net?
Oh, you know, that's always the first question I get, Richard. It was my first question because I wanted to do it right. And so in my study of the original tithing story, for those people who are interested, it's in Genesis 14. It was bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. So I teach people to tithe on the gross.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are many very wonderful teachers who teach you tithe on the net. But I want to play in a bigger game mm-hmm. than just getting by.
Yeah.
I want to play in the biggest game there is.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, then that's what you need to do. And I know that, for example, we have – now, here's an interesting thing. You talk about, say, for example, if you were a farmer and you had a pumpkin patch, 10% of the pumpkins. I have to question, for example, if I was a chicken farmer collecting – and we were selling eggs, as it were, which I am, by the way. I didn't produce those eggs. Now, I cared for the chickens, and I fed them and watered them and cleaned up after them. But they're the ones that produced those eggs. So I'm curious, is it still justifiable and appropriate for me to give, out of every dozen eggs, for example, or let's say every 120 eggs, I give a dozen away, or 10%, whatever that calculates out to.
But you see, you receive the egg.
I know, that's what I mean.
You receive the egg, so if you receive it, one-tenth of it goes out. Now, there's another way to do it, of
I
course.
See.
Mm-hmm. You know, of course, you could take all the eggs and sell them and give a tenth of the money that
I
you
gotcha.
Get.
I gotcha.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about, because bartering is becoming a more popular element in our society. So now we're going to have to get more creative and think a little broader. If we're not using currency, then we have to start looking at it from a different perspective.
Right. And I always urge people to take it into prayer, to your quiet time, and ask, you know, if my intention is really to acknowledge God with my source, with my tithe, how do I do this? What's the best possible way? But all at the same time, to tithe on all the money that you receive. Because, you know, we have to have money to pay the light bill and put gas in the car and all that good stuff. So everybody in our culture functions, I would imagine, with some money.
Oh, well, absolutely. I don't think that you can function completely without some
right.
currency, some coin in your pocket of some sort.
Right.
Because it's fascinating because obviously we all struggle with it. I admit I struggle with it too. My wife and I we are dealing with past stories or past
sure.
messages that we've received from family and friends,
yes,
parents,
yes.
Church, school, wherever the messages came from. We're all dealing with these kinds of things.
And so, I think what's happening in our culture right now is really a good thing, Richard. Because it's forcing us to realize that worshiping money is not getting us where we want to be. And if you're not a tither, in a sense, you're putting your faith in money rather than in God or infinite mind or spirit or whatever. And giving the tenth is a way of saying, boy, I'm going to make God my senior partner, or spirit my senior partner, and beginning to trust in an energy system that is here to love and support us.
Want to go into one of the sidebars, so to speak, of it's the second or third law. They're also intertwined. It's hard mm-hmm. to just categorize them per se, but you have forgiveness and worthiness.
Yes.
That second element, worthiness. So let's talk a little bit about that and how that plays into all of this.
Well, one of my teachers says that the secret of bringing forth into your life all that you desire is right identification. Who are you? And if you can answer that question with the highest and best answer, you will feel worthy. But many people will answer with, oh, I'm just, I'm just so-and-so, and I live in the log cabin, and I don't have much, and like that. Or I'm not really worthy, rather than saying, I'm made in the image and likeness of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
I am God's beloved. It is my Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. And so when you work on issues of worthiness, you feel not necessarily that you've earned anything, but that you deserve the good that's in your life because the Father, Mother, God loves you and wants you to be happy.
Yeah. Now, you use predominantly what would be considered Christian terminology.
I do. But at the same time, I've spent time in Tibet and India with my Buddhist brothers and sisters, and I have a real heart connection with them. And I've spent time in South America with the shaman, the indigenous people in the rainforest, and I have a heart connection with them. And I just believe that whatever pathway you're on, these ideas will work.
And they are the four spiritual laws of prosperity. Again, a simple guide to unlimited abundance. The website is prosperityproducts.com. My guest is Edwin Gaines, and we're talking about these laws. And one that we're going to talk about here and in the final segment, and that is probably one of the more difficult ones, only because if you haven't dealt with especially the forgiveness and the worthiness, this next one is a difficult one, and that is finding your – now, this is interesting. Not just finding your purpose, finding your divine purpose.
Yes.
That's hard enough, finding my purpose in life, Edwin, but I got to find my divine purpose? Come on. I'm already tithing, and I forgave myself, and I feel really good about myself.
Yes.
You know?
And you're setting your goals.
And
I know what it is that you want.
Got them written out right here, 1 through
yeah.
10.
Yeah.
Now I got to find this. How do we do that? What does it mean, and how do we do it?
Well, here's my belief system. I believe that if you will follow your heart and do what brings you joy, that will lead you into the accomplishment of your divine purpose. whatever that might be. And it doesn't have to be some huge, lofty thing that would be on the front page of the Inquirer. It might be something about, like, growing the most beautiful African violet, or it might be learning how to clog, or it might be playing the guitar, or it might be discovering a cure for cancer. Only you know. But if you keep doing every day what brings you joy, the mystics say, follow your bliss, that will lead you into the fulfillment of your divine purpose.
If we are with someone who has an awareness of what their divine purpose is, and yet they are having difficulty doing that, say, as their full-time job, yet when they're not working, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
There is like, I want out of this full-time thing so that I can 100% focus on all the stuff that I know I should be doing, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
And one might say, well, if that's what you want to do, then quit your full-time job. Well, but I can't because I have to have that money to live on. How do we balance that?
Well, it's back to going back to the four spiritual laws. Once you begin to tithe, your faith increases 100-fold. And then you forgive and you begin to feel worthy to have what you want. And then you set your goals and you say exactly what it is that you want. And then you start taking action toward your divine purpose. When I first started teaching these principles, I taught them in the evening. I kept my day jobs, you understand, until I could see that teaching these would support me. And so I'm not asking people to do things that violate what they think is reasonable, but I'm asking them to do the preparatory work, which is tithe, forgive, set your goals, and start right now moving towards your divine purpose, whatever that might be.
So it would also take probably for an individual like this a shift in mind, if you will, and heart towards that job that they're doing full time.
Absolutely. If you don't love what you do, you need to get out of it or learn to love it.
And if you
quit before you've learned everything you need to learn there, you're going to have to repeat it.
Yeah, that becomes even more frustrating, and we are going we're going to be back in just a moment talking, wrapping things up here with Edwin Gaines, the author of The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, and the website prosperityproducts.com. I'm Richard Dugan. Edwin Gaines will stay with us here, and we'll be back in just a moment. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Don't go away. And we've come to the final segment of our program. It's the shortest one, and yet it's just the way these programs go. And they're set up, and we get into these programs, get into these interviews, and they just go in the direction that they go. And Edwin, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program. And in the last couple of moments, I'd like to give you the opportunity of sharing a closing, shall we say, message or thought for those who are struggling with these different concepts, not so much struggling with understanding them, but saying, yeah, I know, Edwin, but they, you know, it's putting them all into practice that I'm struggling with.
Yes, and for that, I send out this message that if you will, go within and ask for help from this indwelling God presence, and know that there are thousands of people around the world, probably hundreds of thousands of people, praying for you and with you. If you are willing to be courageous enough to take one little step each day, it will get easier and easier. Start to give. Start to love yourself. Start to dream big dreams, because the universe loves you and wants you to win.
One of my dreams, I will tell you, Edwin, and I've shared this with our listeners, is to take this show on the road, this program, and do it in locations around the world, including possibly even the Rock Ridge Retreat Center for a broadcast. And that's the hope and desire that I have to do this on a full-time basis.
You can do this. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, and it would be great fun. And my wife and I, we'd travel around the world and hopefully one day also have that lovely little cottage home in Ireland, and two homes, one here in Santa Barbara and one there, and doing this radio show. Yeah,
God wants you to have it.
We're very excited about having you on the program, and thank you so much for sharing. Again, the website here on Tell Me Your Story for Edwine to get in touch with her is prosperityproducts.com. I'm Richard Dugan, and we encourage you to stay with us. Next week, we're going to have an exciting program. We don't want you to miss it, and we encourage you to check out the website. We have our schedule of programs up there, our guest lineup, all the way through March of 2009, if you can believe that. Talk about prosperity and abundance. We have an abundance of guests coming your way with some great topics. Once again, the guest today has been Edwine Gaines and her book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for joining us here on the program. Love to all. Have a great Saturday.
Talk with me. Talk with me.